When you do a podcast, you've got to have a song where someone sings the title. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? The world is kind of scary when things don't go the right way. So listen to this podcast and it will probably be okay. Probably no guarantees.
Hello and welcome to What Could Go Wrong, the best slash worst thing that could ever happen to warriors. I'm Jeff from Happy Valley. I'm joined by Chrissy, veteran escapee survivor of Murderville, Idaho.
Hey there!
Also here's Jeremiah, who clawed his way out of his hometown, the Coffin, California.
Beep beep.
No matter how bad you think things are, these two think they could get worse. So I had to go to work-sanctioned driving courses today, so I thought we'd talk about driving, just because it ties together so well with what I just did. We'll start off with the first part, driver education. Pretty much it was driver's ed for adults for a couple hours. Went over some of the basics, you know, things like how close to follow, statistics for what happens when you speed, and likelihood of you to crash and burn. Had some, you know, videos on the screen set to, like, this the hamster sounds... dance, showing a bunch of stuff crashing together, you know, showing us not what
like
to do.
Like a really good day. Sounds like a really good day.
Did you get to see my favorites, Blood on the Highway or Red Asphalt?
No, we did have a giant truck runs red light, knocking SUV on top of three other cars and lighting another car on fire.
Yes!
But was there any gore?
No, this was all, G-rated violence on vehicle action.
Oh my goodness, what happened to the scared straight driver's ed programs where they just show you pieces of people all over the place just wrecked because of the bad decisions they've made?
But there was fire? There was fire.
There was fire. Yeah. I think they saved those for, like, the Dewey classes. Like, you know, here's the choices you made and this is what you drinking led to. Kind of thing. This was more like educational, like where to hold your hands these days on the steering wheel, and
where do you hold the hands these days?
Is it 10-2? Is it 10-2?
It is 9-3.
Son of a bitch! What? I was so close.
Or 8-4.
I feel like everything is changing.
These are to avoid the airbag deploying with your arms. And then your arms, you know, hitting you in the face. That's... So I could understand it. It also, you know, we don't need to... Most cars are automatic these days, so you don't really need a hand free for, like, manual shifting anymore.
That's true.
So some of the stuff they had, I still wasn't so sure about the 4-second following. Like, I could see it in some situations. It didn't really work well in congested traffic. But I could see where they were coming from and the reasons why they were recommending it.
If you leave that much room, someone's just going to cut in front of you, and then you've got to back off for another 4 seconds, and then someone else jumps in there, because that's a space.
And pretty soon you're going backwards,
yeah,
basically.
The good thing about that is you can't go backwards in time, so you yet. Just lose a little bit of your efficiency. So I can understand why they said it. And hey, I'd rather younger drivers do that.
Hey, Jeff, how about 20 seconds ago you start telling me about... the 4-second rule.
I think I did that.
Yeah, this is me proving that there's time travel.
Oh, I see. Forward time travel in a short jump. Ingenious.
You know, it's a skill that I have.
Yeah, that's up there on list of powers that are kind of handy to have.
You know, I don't like to brag.
Well, moving on. So then we got to go to the driving section of it, which
you had
was
a practical exam.
I didn't get to do the skid car because it was broken. Boo. But the skid car would have been fun.
Yeah, I would have a lot of fun with the skid car. I'm just saying, probably shouldn't let me drive that.
Is that just a car that is easy to skid?
It effectively has a second set of wheels on it that lets them put you into a fishtail or out of control situation. Like they could fake hydroplane you, or
you want to hear one of my favorite games when I was little, like 15 and a licensed driver.
So when you were younger.
Yeah. So well, also I was little. So I lived in the mountains And in the winter, we got, like, 7 months of just snow and ice. And one of my favorite things to do would be able, like, to go out as far as I, like, to the plowed roads would take out into the country. And the roads back there were really slick, and the snowbanks were really high. And I would, like, drive, and then I would just slam on my brakes really hard. And
always a great like, choice in ice and snow.
Throw myself into, like, a really hard skid. And then the game was get out of the skid before you hit the snowbank.
That sounds pretty awesome.
It was so much fun.
Like, I would play that game right now.
Right? It was so much fun. It was
a really good
time.
I'm not sure this is good advice to tell people to do, Chrissy.
I'm not saying that it's great advice because, I mean, at the very least of things that could go wrong, you end up in a snowbank. And if you're by yourself, then you're digging yourself out of a snowbank
by yourself. You turn into the skid, right? You don't turn away from it.
Right.
Yeah. So people just turn into the skid, y'all. Don't accelerate. Don't brake. Just turn into the skid. Let the car recover. And then slowly apply accelerator pressure if you want
to
go faster.
And then
which you
go.
Do. Because faster is funner.
One of my favorite places to do this was like the road where I would go was really close to an old sheriff. And
like it was close to just an old sheriff. Like
it's where
the sheriff
lived.
Was old, and that's where they were.
He was an older sheriff, and that's where he lived. And so there was like a little bit of danger in that too. Of like, oh man, not gonna say his name.
Old man
here.
Sheriff might come out and see me doing this.
Old man sheriff's gonna get his rock salt and shoot me if I crash into his snowbanks again. He's been growing those snowbanks for years.
I was legitimately scared of this human.
Well, you're 15 and driving recklessly. You should be scared.
That sounds right. That's right on par there with most 15-year-olds.
Other than the reckless driving and the like clear disregard for my safety or anybody else's safety who I might encounter on one of those roads, I was a real good kid, y'all. Anyhow.
You survived, at least.
My dad taught me how to skid.
Now fingers are being pointed.
And I just found it really fun. Like, I don't think he'd... I mean, now clearly he's going to know because somebody in my family is going to listen to this episode and be like, Randy, did you hear? But I... Yeah. He taught me how to drive in those conditions and skid and recover. And I just found it really entertaining. I found it to be a really fun activity. And I was really a really bored teenager. So I could have been doing a lot worse.
It's true.
Yeah. You went chasing the adrenaline dragon. That's the least dangerous of drugs you can do in Murderville.
It could have been much worse.
Yeah. No one else died when you were surfing around in your car in the snow.
No.
That's the story we're sticking with, at the very least. And I have to congratulate you, too. You gave some very good practical advice earlier with the steering into the skid.
Oh, yeah. Always never steer away from it, because that's just bad.
No, and it would totally make you spin around and around, and that's not awesome at all.
Nope, don't want to do that. Totally lose control at that point.
Yeah, especially if you got your GoPro on the dash and it looks epic. You post it to YouTube and get a million hits and then retire. Don't do that. Just... drive responsibly and steer into the skid, I guess. Whatever.
And probably just don't put yourself in a situation where you skid. You drive really slow.
Yeah.
Well, one piece that was fun was also they called it Deer Alley. I think it was supposed to represent us driving around like an animal that was on the road. Because you pretty much just drove as fast as you were comfortable driving. For me, that was around 40 miles an hour across the parking lot. And then you had to quickly steer to the right or left, correct and go straight, and then steer back the opposite way that you went to simulate driving around quickly.
Did they give you guys, like, deer stat, like, the, you know, like, the ones that hunters use for target practice? Like, did they give you guys those
things?
That'd
be awesome.
To drive around?
No, they put up a bunch of traffic cones and then screamed left or right on which way I was supposed to go when I was a few seconds from the cones.
I feel like this was a real missed opportunity.
Did the traffic cones have names?
I was thinking of them fondly as the towers since they were tall in the middle and then they were stubbies on the right and left.
Did they have faces drawn on them?
No, but they definitely had tire tracks on them from when people had missed their turns.
Excellent.
So they could have been face-like if you looked at them in the right Rostrick test kind of way.
Hmm. Interesting. And so was it supposed to be that you were dodging deers, and that's why they called it Deer Alley?
They said, you know, well, the most likely event that you would be doing this type of activity where you really have very little maneuverability would be like an animal on a rural highway.
Hmm. Thanks a lot, animals. Get off our highways.
Right. What did we ever do to them?
Yeah.
I think we built the highways.
Well, I mean, they should have known to get out of the way. We're in town. We got a road here. Well, book it.
Takes evolution a while to catch up on those types of things.
Well, we got to help them by running them over, not dodging them.
That does bad things to you and your car.
Not if you have a super tough car.
Yes, if you have a tank or some kind of deer buster, you're probably okay.
Oh man, deer busters are awesome.
The Ford Deer Buster. I am the happiest with my Ford Deer Buster purchase. It makes an expedition look like a Peugeot.
I mean, I hate the idea of them because I get really sad thinking about deer getting hit. There's a road really close to where I live mm-hmm. where for a while, at the beginning of the summer, like late spring, early summer, they were counting the number of deer that had been hit on this like really short stretch of road. And we went up, it was like 3 days away from each other, and it had gone up by like 10 deer.
Oh, wow. Who got the high score?
I don't know, but it made me so sad for all of these poor little deers that were, and because that's a horrible way to go. And deer busters look evil. Like, that would hurt so bad.
The grills kind of do look like a big smile.
Yeah, but, I mean, the fact that they're self-cleaning is one of my favorite features. So even if you do mess up a deer, something awful, one, it's angled right, so it's not going to go through your hood or your windshield or anything. And then two, just go, the cleaning solution gets it right off of there, and nobody can prove anything. You are driving a vehicle called a deer buster, so there's some
That's true.
Probable cause there. But, you know, you can't prove it.
Well, there's no laws against it, so I think you're in the clear. As long as you're not driving through clearings after the deer.
Well, I didn't spring for the off-road package, so...
Ah, well then, good to go.
Yet.
Oh, don't like, on purpose murder the deer.
And then the last thing was driving the... What do they call it? Shalom course?
Slalom?
There's a bunch of cones set up that you're supposed to drive in between them very quickly.
Uh-huh.
Did you just run over them? Because whenever I see one of those, I always just want to, like, just go straight down the middle.
I'd be worried about catching the cones in the drive shaft of the car, but I did knock a couple cones over in my maneuverings.
Was there prizes for who drove the fastest or the bestest?
I mean, I got to make the other people who were in the car with me uncomfortable, I guess.
That happens every time you drive, Jeff.
That's the best. That's the best reward anybody can get right there.
There was definitely some, like, oh god moments.
So wait, they did during this driving exam, they didn't have you go alone? You had other people in the car?
No, you had the car trainer driver with you in the front seat, and then the other folks who were with me at the training. We were broken up into groups of three. And
it's literally horrible. Just like driver's ed.
It really was. It was done by a driver's ed company. So I was expecting more like a police driving kind of training, uh-huh. like where you know how to get out of a fast chase skid kind of thing. It was more like, and here's how you drive, kids. Wow. I was like, that's okay, amazing. Well, you're going to tell me these things that I know already, but that's cool.
I didn't get my license.
Like, wait. As we go faster, it takes longer to stop?
What? That's
I never madness. Would have guessed that, trainer man.
I didn't get my license until I was 20, so I had to figure all that stuff out on my own.
I got my license. I took driver's ed when I was 14.
Makes sense, since you were snow crashing at 15.
Yeah.
I had my driver's license really, really early on. We couldn't drive at night until we were 16, but this was before they had any sort of, like, the minute I got my, it wasn't even a permit, it was just, like, a license, and the only restriction on it was that I couldn't drive at night until I was 16. Like, it was just, go do whatever, kids. So I passed driver's ed, and then I was driving all over the place.
Including at night, right? Because you totally drove at night.
Okay, so, yes.
You don't have to admit that online.
Nailed it!
No, we were allowed to drive at night if you were, like, going between, like, work and home or church and home. So I was a good little church kid. I had to drive to church and back. And also it meant I got to drive at night. And break the rules, which felt awesome.
Well, that's all the time we have for tonight. Chrissy and Jeremiah, before you incriminate yourselves any further, please give your audience your fond farewells.
Okay, look, the statute of limitations is way up on this stuff. Like, I'm fine. I'm fine. Nobody let my parents listen to this episode. Okay, bye guys.
And if the statute of limitations isn't up, remember that if you speak in hypotheticals, then nothing can be held against you in a court of law.
Hypothetically. It's true. None of these things actually happened. Thanks for listening. Except for me going to driver's ed.